speak to you in the name of the God whose grace has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Amen. On that particular day, I was engrossed in a book called Bums, an oral history of the Brooklyn Dodgers. You see, I'm a lifetime Dodgers fan. I spent my entire early childhood waiting for them to beat the New York Yankees. And if you ask about the final game of the 1955 World Series, I can almost recreate it play by play. That was the year they finally won. But I was a Dodgers fan from Florida, and my only direct contact with them was in the spring, surrounded by palm trees and hibiscus. I never saw Ebbets Field. I never experienced the Brooklyn side of the Dodgers. So when a friend gave me Bums, I was delighted. It is a collection of personal reminiscences of life in Brooklyn, from players, fans, neighborhood people, from the transformation of Pigtown Slum into Ebbets Field, through Jackie Robinson's flying challenge to segregated baseball, all the way to the final perfidy of the move to Los Angeles. Bums is a highly personal, often raucous, intensely human story of my team. So on that particular day, I was engrossed in the book when my son John spoke to me. With that well-practiced parental response, I said something and went back to my book. A moment later, John spoke again. When he got the same response, he hit my shoulder and muttered, "Are you listening, Dad? You never listen to me." Since the accusation hit kind of close to home, I did put the book down and we talked. Are you listening? I'm certainly not the only parent ever to respond half-heartedly to a child's entreaty. More often, the book stays open and the child stays off to the side. But that question, are you listening, really says, do you like me? Am I important? Are you interested in who I am? And the deepest question of all, do you love me? That's the question we never stop asking. It calls for an answer we never stop needing. And all of this is triggered by the child's accusing question, are you listening? I found myself asking that same question of God this week and the weeks before. With gunfire again wreaking death in a high school, with tornadoes traveling 200 miles on the ground, ripping life and hope from ordinary people, it was a week of personal sadness among people I know. Young people lonely for friends. Old people moving from family homes to nursing homes. A young couple who called to say their paychecks had been stolen. A fairly normal week in human affairs, I suppose, but it still made me ask, oh God, are you listening? Well, please put your book down and listen. Are we not important? Don't you love us? The perennial question of human hearts. As long as we have imagined God, we have asked that question. Are you interested in us? Do we matter? Sometimes the answer is not obvious. Sometimes it seems that God is not only not listening, but is not even there. In The Seventh Seal, the film by Ingmar Bergman, the night talks with God, talks with death about God. Night, I want God to stretch out his hand toward me, reveal himself and speak to me. Death, but he remains silent. Night, I call out to him in the dark, but no one seems to be there. Death, perhaps no one is there. Every person here tonight has faced that possibility sometime. Perhaps no one is there. Perhaps there is no God. Perhaps like the God of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in the contest with Elijah, God has gone aside or is on a journey or is asleep and has to be wakened. But we don't dare ask, "Oh God, are you there?" So we whisper, "Oh God, are you listening?" I believe God has answered our question. But instead of laying down his book, like we usually try to do, God has laid down himself. If the fragile and vulnerable image of a newborn baby reflects anything of God, it is God's turning toward us to listen. Are we important? Do we matter? Are we loved? Are you listening? When you translate the cry of the baby into the language of God, it sounds like this: "I am listening. I hear you. You are important. You matter. Most of all, I love you." Our children eventually discover that many problems in life have no answers. They still ask, "Are you listening?" For they mostly want attention and the assurance that they are loved. There certainly are no answers for why gunfire cut down young people before their time. No answers for why piles of rubble and dead bodies lie where communities once lived. No answers for why young people are lonely and old people outlive themselves. But perhaps in the end, we don't need answers from God so much as the assurance, just the assurance that God is listening. You may know the story of the little girl from London's East End, made famous by her friend known as Finn. She was four. She was a strange, precocious, impressionate child with a gift of wisdom far beyond her years. The night Finn found her on the London docks, he took her to his home to stay for a while with him and his mom. After bath and food, it was time for bed. "Ain't you going to say your prayers?" she said. "Well, yes," I replied, "when I get to bed." "I want to say mine now with you," she said. So we both got down on our knees and she talked while I listened. "I've been to church many times and heard many prayers, but none like this. I can't remember much about her prayer except that it started off with, 'Dear Mr. God,' this is Anna talking. And she went on in such a familiar way of talking to Mr. God that I had the creepy feeling that if I dared look behind me, he would be standing there. I remember her saying, 'Thank you for letting Finn love me.' And I remember being kissed goodnight, but how I got to bed, I don't know. I lay there in bed for some confusion, wondering what had hit me. The trains rattled on their way, the fog swirled around the street lamp. It may have been an hour that I had lain there, possibly two, when I heard the clack, clack of the curtain rings. And there she was, standing at the end of my bed, quite visible in the lamplight. For a minute or two, I lay there thinking that she was just wanting to reassure herself when she moved around to the head of my bed. I said, 'Hi, Tish. Can I get in?' she said in a whisper. She didn't wait for my 'if you want to,' but she slid in beside me and buried her head in my neck and cried silently, her tears warm and wet on my chest. 'Dear Mr. God, this is us talking. Are you listening?' And with the fragile strength of a baby's cry comes the answer, 'Yes. Amen.'"